Boker Tov, Boker Tov, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome everybody. Rosh Hodesh Tov. Glad you're here. Welcome to the Aliyah Day. And hope everybody's having a good day, being blessed, being encouraged. It is the month of Kislev, begins today. I would very much like to do a teaching today at some point on Kislev, the overview of Kislev. I'm going to make every effort to do that. I have two scheduled appointments today that I have to make. And then I had guys in the parking lot fixing our parking lot just now, so I wasn't expecting that. It's already been a busy morning. My point is I'm going to try to make that happen. Of course, it's also prep day, so that's a little tenuous. But I really would like to do a teaching on Kislev in this month. It's an important month. It's a month of light. It is an incredible month. It's going to be a good month. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good Shabbat. So we'll see. If I can't get it done today, I will definitely get it done on Yom Rishon. But I'd rather do it today. We'll see. We'll see how things play out. By the way, speaking of this, you know, I've been saying recently, think good and it will be good. Think good and it will be good. And I was having, my wife and I were having a conversation with one of our member couples just a couple days ago, and they were talking about how impactful that has been to their life and to people around here to think good and it will be good. And you know, I that is a Hasidic dictum that has been around for, you know, hundreds of years. And the idea is that if we think negatively, if we think the worst, if we expect the worst, then it will attract that work. It'll be worst. It will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. However, if we think the best, if we expect the best, if we expect that it's going to be okay, even if it doesn't look like it's okay, even if it looks like you're going through a very difficult situation, but you know the end result will be for your betterment, then it will attract that positivity into your life. Well, it's interesting because yesterday, in three separate articles, my wife, Rebbe Sina and I were looking at the insights yesterday morning. And then last night we read two different articles. One was a specific article about a rabbi and some challenges he had gone through. And then another article was about the month of Kislev. These three articles were not related in terms of their topic. And yet in each article, the phrase "think good and it will be good" was used and spoken about in each of the three situations. So clearly it was obvious, like, you know, slap in the face obvious, that Hashem was speaking to us about yes, yes, yes. What I'm speaking to Lapid Nation right now, the mantra that I want them to get down in their soul for this season is think good, it'll be good. Remember last year, the mantra that Hashem wanted us to get down in our soul as part of our tikkun, collectively, our collective tikkun, mine more than any, was Gamzei Rachamim, this too is mercy. That everything we receive from Hashem is mercy. That we exist on mercy. You know, the idea that grace entered the scene at some point in history is just untenable. Because our entire existence as a human race has been Gamzei Rachamim, this too is mercy, this too is compassion. So that was last year's mantra. This year's mantra, at least this season's mantra, unless Hashem introduces us to something else, Right now it is, think good and it'll be good. So write that on a piece of paper and put it on your bathroom mirror, or, you know, put it on a piece of, painter's tape and put it on your dashboard, or whatever you need to do to put that in front of you. Put it on your desk at work. Think good and it will be good. And for some of us, that's a challenge, because our innate response when things happen, it could be like, uh-oh. And it could be anything, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about uh-oh could be anything for some people. Hey, the boss wants to see you in his office. And our reaction to that may be, uh-oh, yikes, I wonder if everything's okay. But really, your reaction should be, Baruch Hashem, he's going to give me some good news. She's going to give me a promotion. Baruch Hashem, we have something exciting to talk about. Hey, praise God. Thank good, it'll be good. So, life is good. Life is good. Thank good, it'll be good. God has been blessing. God has been showing us good things. He's going to continue to show us good things. And by the way, we're not just pie in the sky trying to speak into reality. What we're doing is we're simply believing that everything comes from Hashem, and everything he does for us is for the very best. In fact, I have on my desk in front of me, one of our precious sisters from down in the valley gave me this little desk ornament, I guess you'd call it. And it's a quote from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So she got that for me sometime last year, and I've had it right here in front of my computer. I stare at it every time I sit here at my desk. But yesterday, I just felt like Hashem was wanting me to do a little looking, a little commentary study on that passage. So I did. I pulled some Mamloez off the shelf. Let me just turn here to it, because I want to read it to you, because it's relevant to what we just talked about. And this is the commentary that I gleaned from that verse. It says here, "Trust in God with all your heart. Do not rely on Hashem and man." It's not just that we don't rely on men. That's fairly obvious. But the insight here is, don't rely upon God and man. Don't rely upon God and man. Rely upon God only. If man helps you, man, either literally a person has helped you, or some type of scheme or some type of program or whatever has helped you, understand that it wasn't that person or that program. It was Hashem, no matter what. It reminds me of a story I read about the American Civil War. And one of the Confederate leaders is a cavalry commander named Nathan Bedford Forrest. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a military genius. He was known, his nickname back then was the Wizard of the Saddle. And he was just renowned for defeating enemy armies that were two and three times his number. But Nathan Bedford Forrest was also an extremely religious man. He was a Christian person, Christian guy, and he was very, very, very fervent in his faith. And so there is a story about him written by one of the chaplains. I happen to have the original 1880s version of this book that Reb Hasim bought for me. And there's a story about him, and he had just come off of one of his greatest victories, where I think if I'm not mistaken, they were outnumbered like 10-1 or something like that, and they beat the enemy. And so he's in the camp, and he's talking to his lieutenants, And he said, "Gentlemen, let us give God the praise for the victory today." To which one of his lieutenants said, "Well, it was God and Southern Steel that won the victory today." Now, Nathan Bedford Forrest, in addition to being a military genius, was also a very large man. He was extremely tall, extraordinarily strong, and just a very big man. In fact, at one point he was galloping on his horse during a battle, and he actually picked up an enemy soldier and used him as a shield, literally, as he was trying to ride to safety. That's how big of a guy this person was. So he actually picks up the lieutenant, you know, by the collar, and he says, "No, I'm telling you, it was God and God alone." So I always love that story. It's a little bit of an extreme, but the point was is that he recognized that even though we were fighting the battle and there was a lot of people that were doing what they needed to do, and literally in this case, man was involved, but it wasn't God and man, it was God alone. And that is a really important insight. As it says, believe the principle from Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man who trusts in man. Cursed be the man who trusts in man. So I think that's invalid. We think about think good and it'll be good. How can I think good, Rabbi, and it'll be good when I'm dealing with a potentially challenging situation? Well, ladies and gentlemen, everything is of God, and God will help you. God puts us sometimes, very often I should say, in situations in which we are needing to rely upon him. And the scripture tells us and that in Psalms 25 that it when we trust in Hashem, right, we will not be put to shame. That's actually a promise. Let's see if I can find that right quick. I know this is not really part of the Aliyah, but maybe it's encouraging us today. Psalm 25, to you, O Hashem, I lift up my soul, in you I trust, O my God, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. So when we trust in Hashem, when we put our entire faith in him, then we will not be put to shame. You cannot be put to shame when you rely on God. That is a spiritual principle like gravity. Another spiritual principle, by the way, and this is something else the Rebbe and I were talking about this week, is that that if you have committed a sin, all right, you've committed a sin, whatever it is, right? And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, this is a fact, Jack, as we said earlier this week, and it's something that you and I need to be cognizant of. You can commit a sin and you can lie about it. You can try to conceal it. You can try to deflect it so people won't see it. But I'm here to tell you, it is a spiritual law that your sin eventually will be shouted from the rooftops. Yes, it will. Now, that's just a fact, okay? So you can lie about it. You can say, no, it wasn't me. No, I didn't do it. No, it was their fault. And it doesn't matter. You will be exposed. This should be another point of contemplation for us when we are doing something that we think that no one else sees. We're doing it behind the proverbial closed doors. Just know that there's no such things as a closed door. God is everywhere. And one of the reasons why God exposes us, it's partly a punishment. But remember that Hashem's punishments are never just punitive. They're always intended, hopefully, to be restorative. So one of the reasons why he shouts it from the rooftops is because we can't ever really get healed until we come to grips with our sin. Until we own it, right? You secrets, people say, I have secret sin. No, you don't, not really. But eventually it'll come out. And the reason it'll come out is because God needs you to get free from it. You can't get free from it when you're trying to conceal it. So anyway, just believe that, trust that. It's the way it is. Another insight here to this verse and Proverbs goes on to say, in all your ways, right? Acknowledge him. So it says, in all your ways, even when it appears bad. This is what I really wanted to share. Even when it appears bad, bless him. For even what is evil in your eyes is not evil except as it appears to you. So what is evil in our eyes is only evil in our eyes because it appears evil to us. But it's not necessarily evil. Okay? In truth, see, this is why if you're going through something difficult, right? People go through difficulties in life. And there's all kinds of examples, but we won't belabor the point by trying to use examples. But we all go through difficulties in life, okay? And what we want to do instinctively is, man, I need to rebuke the devil and get rid of this curse. Pray for me that that this stuff will stop. Pray for me that I'll be healed. Pray for me that my life will not be such a hot mess. Pray for me that whatever's going on here will be stopped, right? Rebuke that enemy. Well, sometimes that's necessary. I'm not against spiritual warfare by any stretch of imagination. However, we would do better to let our instinct first be, Hashem, what do I need to correct about me, which is why I'm experiencing all this drama? Obviously, you're trying to get my attention. So what is it about me that needs to be corrected? And I would add to that, there's no such thing as I don't need improvement. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as I've reached my goal. Ladies and gentlemen, we will never reach our goal. We will never cease to need refinement until we are no longer in this world. There's no such thing. We are constantly working on ourselves. Now, I used an example by way of analogy. It's like the person who goes to work out at the gym. When you first start working out, maybe your goal is to just be able to do this exercise or that exercise at a certain weight with a certain amount of repetition. And right now, when you first start out, you can't do that. That's like a goal. But there's a phenomenon. Most people are this way. I don't know very many people who aren't. But, in fact, I don't know anybody who is. But once you reach that goal, it's not as if you can just, hey, you know, I couldn't do it 3, 4, 5 months ago, and now I'm doing that. I met my goal. That's where I want to live. I just want to live right here. I just want to do this all day long for the rest of my life. No, it doesn't work that way. Once you hit that goal, you're like, hey, wait. 4 or 5 months ago, I couldn't do this at all. I couldn't even pick up the bar. And now I'm doing it. Hey, let's go to the next set. Let me set a new goal. Right? Because now I'm stronger. You know, everybody does that in the context of building up your physical body. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That applies to your spiritual life as well. You can say, well, I'm working on this these midot, and I'm trying to get better at prayer. I'm trying to get better at anger management. I'm trying to get better at Torah study. I'm trying to get better at speaking Hebrew. Whatever it is I'm trying to do in order to serve God. Well, once you get to that goal, you don't just go, hey, I've arrived. No, I need no it. I have no it more issues. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing. Trust me. If anybody can tell you that more than anybody, it's me. I'm telling you, as somebody who's been in ministry now for over 2 decades, I have preached hundreds of droshes, hundreds of classes, officiated dozens of weddings, dozens of funerals, been by people's bedside when they're passing away, been at bris milahs and birthing of babies, and, you know, been to Israel 7 times now, Mikvah in the Jordan, I don't know how many times, been in the Kotel, and still, yours truly has a lot to work on. So just know there's no such thing as I've arrived. There's no such thing as I'm good. So when we're going through challenges, just know it's like God's obviously trying to work on something with me. Don't look around and go, well, it's not me. That's not true. So when you're going through things, even if it appears to be evil, understand it's for the good. It's for the good. Now, I will also say, trust me on this, that's not easy. Some people know what it's like to go through trials and tribulations, and some people don't. I'm not talking about I can't make my car payment. That's a trial on a certain level, and I've been there. But ladies and gentlemen, that's Candyland and peppermint sticks compared to what a lot of people go through. But just understand, no matter what you're going through, it's going to work out for your best, because God loves you. And understand also what the purpose of every test is. What is the ultimate goal of every test that you're going to walk through in your life? What do the sages tell us? The purpose of every test that you're going to walk through in your life, the ultimate thing that God wants you to get, is He wants you to draw closer to Him and to be more reliant on Him for everything. For everything. Okay? Now listen, that brings me into the conclusion of this insight. This is what it says. In truth, these things that appear evil to you are good for you, so as to make straight your path. God straightens your path in life through suffering that afflicts you, for God sees it as for the good. And the insight concludes by saying this. And this is what I mean where we trust God for everything. In every deed, listen to me, in every deed that you perform. It didn't say some deeds. It says every deed. I need you to get down in your spirit. And I want to belabor this for just a second, because there's some things we do, ladies and gentlemen, that we have done all of our lives, and we just completely take it for granted. This is why there is in Judaism essentially a blessing to God for using the bathroom. And the reason for that is because most people go to the restroom and it's so natural and it's so normal, and we've done it ever since we were little bitty kids, that we don't even give it a second thought. And yet, if we could not use the bathroom, for there was some physical ailment, God forbid, that we were prevented from doing so, we would not last, as the blessing says, even for 1 hour. So understand then that everything we do, no matter what we do, I'm letting you right now. me sitting down here, I've sat down at this desk and I've given the aliyah a day. I mean, I don't know how many times. So it seems, for me, it just seems second nature. Just doing what I'm doing right now is as comfortable as taking a stroll down the street. And yet, I must acknowledge that it's only by God's grace that I have the ability to do so. It's only by God's grace and power that anything happened today, that I was able to turn the handle on the door to open it. I mean, I have a little bit of an injury on my arm. Just a minor one. And it came from working out, and I stressed a little tendon in my arm, just picking up something, you know, the wrong way enough times, and I've stressed it. So it's not a big deal, but I've been, it's on my right hand too, which makes it a bigger deal. But when it comes to picking up stuff a certain way, and I mean like little things, like I can pick up my keyboard, you know, and I feel this little twing in my hand where that little tendon is going, okay. And I'm mindful of it now, so I'm trying to pick stuff up with my left arm to give that a little rest as it's healing itself. My whole point of telling you that is that if I didn't have that injury, that little minor injury, I would not appreciate the fact that I pick up a cup of coffee or I pick up a book or this or that or the other, and I move it from one side of the desk to the other. I don't even give it a second thought. But now that I have the injury, when I pick up a book or I pick up a cup of coffee, I feel this little twing. And it's a little, you know, it's a little bit of kind of a dull pain, like, ouch. So I realize every time I pick up a book and move it from the right side of my desk to the left side of my desk or vice versa, I'm able to do that because of a shim. Because of a shim. And I didn't, you don't realize that until God gives you a little bit of an injury so that you can appreciate him more. So you see, by me injuring my arm a little bit, that was God. You say, Rabbi, are you saying that God made you injure your arm at the gym? Yeah, I am. What? Yes. Because Hashem is sovereign. Nothing happens unless he wants it to happen. But my testimony to you is something so simple and seemingly so meaningless as, you know, I picked up a plate the wrong way and I kind of tweaked my arm a little bit and I'm just brutish and dumb enough that I didn't realize it at first, and I kept doing the same thing, and now I've kind of got a little tweak in my arm, had to rub a little, you know, hot and cold ointment on it at night. But what has it done? It's made me appreciate the fact that God allows me something so simple as to pick up something like a book without any pain in my arm. You see, it has drawn me closer to Hashem, which is the point of every trial that we go through. If you're going through a trial, you're going through a challenge, pardon me, draw close to God. That's your fastest way out of it, so to speak, because that's the reason for it. If you want to get an A on the exam, the minute you're going through something difficult, get on your face, get on your knees, stand up in a corner, whatever you got to do, and say, Hashem, I'm crawling right up in your lap right now. I need you, because nothing and no one can save me from the situation. A doctor can't save me. $1 million can't save me. Nothing can save me but you. So, it says, in every deed that you perform, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants you the strength to perform it. Therefore, Put your hope in him, and he will make straight your paths. This is what God wants to show us today. Think good, and it will be good. Why? Because everything comes from God. And therefore, when we understand that reality, we can say it is going to be good. Why is it going to be good? Because Hashem, everything comes from you. And if I need to do anything this morning, it's going to be because you have allowed me to do it. Even if it's something I've done 1,000 times. Even if you're someone who is we have people here who have their own business. We have people who have their own business and they're realtors and people are contractors. And they have a lot of skill in whatever it is that they do. And that's just what you do, man. This is what just how you're gifted. Understand, though, that every time you use that gifting, it's from Hashem. This is why think good and it'll be good. Because Hashem wants us to rely upon him. And thinking good that it will be good is a reliance on Hashem. Thinking negatively is the opposite. It is not trusting God. And that's the key. When we think the worst, we are not putting our faith in Hashem. We are necessarily not believing that all things work together for good to those who believe in God and are called according to his purposes. We are necessarily thinking the opposite of that. But when we say it's going to be okay, that's why. Because I believe in Hashem. My trust is in him this morning. That's what God wanted us to say, to study today, I believe. Well, shalom aleichem, todah rabah for everything. Thank you for being with me all week. I hope that it's been a week of blessing in your life, a week of inspiration. Please have a wonderful prep day. Shabbat shalom to all of you. Please join us for our Shabbat service in the morning as we're going to be talking about Toldot and bringing down some Midrash, Moshe and Messiah, trying to ask Hashem to weave all of this together for us. Please be faithful in your support and your giving to Sar Shalom Synagogue and to Lapid Judaism. I'm asking you to please support this ministry, to please send in your tithes, your offerings, text to give, use going online, calling Keturah. I'm asking you for your support. We depend on people like you to help us continue to do what we do here. So please do that, and please be faithful in your giving. And until we meet again here on the Aliyah Day, may you have a blessed, wonderful, and amazing prep day. Shabbat Shalom, Rosh Chodesh Tov. May Kislev be a month of goodness for us. In the merit of Messiah Yeshua, shalom aleichem.